What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of It's Debatable on Campus FM 103.7, where every week students of international relations at the University of Malta discuss contemporary international affairs. I'm Luca La Citignola, and I will be your host for today's program. Our topic today deals with closed detention centers in Malta. But before we move on, I would like to dedicate this program to one of our listeners. Eva is a student from Hungary who is strongly passionate about human rights. Now let's move on. Our academic guest today is Dr. Isabel Calleja, Head of Department of International Relations at the University of Malta. Dr. Calleja, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Luca. I'm happy to be here.
Tackling the subject from its core, what are detention centers and what is the current Maltese law on the topic?
Well, detention centers are found in a number of European countries. They are not only found here in Malta. I mean, they're found in places like Italy, Greece, UK. I mean, normally they're utilized as a consequence of the state having insufficient reception facilities. Here, EU member states, normally in these detention centres, detain asylum seekers, you know, on the grounds of illegal entry, and they keep them in confinement even after an asylum claim has been lodged. According to Maltese law, a person who arrives in Malta without a valid passport or visa is classified as a prohibited immigrant and can be detained in a closed reception centre for a period up to 18 months. In the case of an asylum claim that is still pending, it's up to 12 months. The legislation on reception standards is written with a commitment to the principles of non-discrimination and respect for human dignity, and that of prohibiting all types of discrimination. And the legislation, of course, is in line with EU legislation that states that all reception measures need to take special consideration of the specific rights and needs of women, children, particularly unaccompanied minors and separated children, and vulnerable persons, including disabled persons, elderly persons, pregnant women, single parents with minor children.
So what are the current reception standards for those people with special needs and these centres?
Well, persons having special needs should be given reception standards that meet their needs, of course. To give you an example, reference is made to the importance of rehabilitation and mental health care for minors, for victims of abuse and neglect, for those that have been exploited or tortured in armed conflicts. There should be, you know, corollary support for them in order to assist them in getting through this difficult time.
So who is responsible for overseeing the provisions of the Immigration Act?
Well, the responsibility for overseeing the provisions of the Act and the control of illegal immigration presently is associated with the Police Special Branch, which screens and registers all immigrants. In 2005, there was the creation of the Detention Service to manage the closed reception centres. This is a government body that falls under the authority of the Minister of Justice and Home Affairs. And its role is to maintain security at the secure centres and to provide adequate accommodation. For instance, necessary toilet and shower facilities, food, clothing, to provide a hygienic and safe environment, access to medical care, access to the commissioner for refugees, for asylum processing, access to non-governmental organisations and access to means of contacting home or country representatives. The asylum process in Malta starts, in fact, very soon after arrival, and on disembarkation, the immigration police briefly register the migrants, and then they are taken after a process, you know, where they are given first aid if needed. And handed over some basic provisions. They are then taken to the detention facilities.
So how many detention centres are there currently in Malta?
Presently, there are three such centres. There's the Safin Barracks, which is a military block. This complex is composed of two large warehouses and two small structures, also known as Block B and C. But together, of course, they create single accommodation for adult men. Then there is the place called known as Takandia that belongs to the police, and this building is basically used to accommodate single men and single women. It's a small structure, but it's divided into two. However, presently it's not much in use. And then there is the third building, which is the Lista Barracks, which is also a military building, and this harbours one of the largest structures, known more commonly by the name of Hermes Block. It's divided into various sections and floors, and there is an addition section with a container mobile homes, which have also been used recently. And this accommodates different sections for different types of asylum seekers, single women, couples, family units, accompanied minors. It has also accommodated vulnerable groups. Centres basically provide accommodation for around 2,000 individuals.
So, to sum up, can you conclude on the issue? So, what is the current situation?
Well, currently, there has been a certain reviewing of the process. In fact, though we talk about a detention period of up to 18 months, currently the maximum period tends to be for 12 months. And this time period has in recent years continued to decrease, especially following the period of time where we got less migrants, so it was easier basically to deal with the situation. Okay, well, in this regard, therefore, we can argue that to some extent the situation has improved. However, despite this, of course, we still find asylum seekers that are detained in overcrowded centres, in substandard conditions. And, of course, I mean, the problem is that when asylum seekers are kept in detention centres, the signal that it sends both to them and to the population at large is that they are being viewed as criminals, whereas, in effect, they have not committed any crimes. And, of course, at times, because the process can be slow, you can even get children and unaccompanied minors that find themselves in detention centres for up to weeks. And of course, there is also the additional fact that none of the reception centres in Malta as yet are accessible for people with disabilities. So the reception centres in Malta, I would conclude, need a lot of work on them if they are going to provide some sort of congenial environment. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Kaleya, for providing us with such well-rounded introduction. Now we join our debate with the students of the Department of International Relations, Tonio Caruana and Christian Cassar. Christian, first of all, how can you define the policy of detention centers in Malta? And are these migrants benefiting from the period of detention, or are they just bringing more frustrated than they arrived?
I must say first that we are restricted and limited in many aspects. We have lack of land availability because we are living in a small island, and also we do not have many resources on which we can build up strong economic basis of our country. Another thing is that we are one of the most densely populated country members in the EU due to small land and large population. In my opinion, we are a progressive country that still has to develop in itself and its economies and politics. Malta is from the recent countries that achieved independence. I mean, compared to other countries in the EU like France, Germany, England and so on, apart from being large countries strong in their economies and politics, we are so small and still need experience in managing these islands. Here, Malta detention centers are a bit restricted in their commodities and quality of living, in the sense that these immigrants are living in cages. They are living for maximum 18 months in these containers. And so I think they are more exposed for diseases and illnesses. But a doctor visits them recently, so this might be lessened. And not so much is there to do about it. Because as already said, we have lack of land, and if there is projects to be done in Malta, I think they will be investments on developing Malta economically and socially. On the other hand, these are humans too, and they have certain rights like we do. But we can't forget that if we provide them such desirable and good commodities, even more of them will decide to come. It is much controversial, this subject, but what I think is that they are not being frustrated more than they came. Because for them must be enough, for example, not to be threatened by their government. They know they committed a crime and must be detained for it.
Tonio, often the situation of Malta detention centers is criticized when compared to other European countries.
Malta, like certain other countries in Europe, has a low standard in its detention centers. In fact, when Malta is compared to other countries that have a high-level standard in the detention centers, one could conclude that in the Maltese islands, better work has to be done in order to get proper detention center. In fact, here I'm going to point out some important issues about Malta's detention centers compared to those of other European countries. Like other European countries, such as Poland and Czech Republic, Malta's immigration center has been installed in an existing premises that have been recycled to detain migrants. In fact, Malta's closed detention center has been installed in tents. It is noted that Malta, like Greece and Cyprus, has poor and unhealthy state of premises due to deterioration of buildings. In fact, these centers have installed in more recent purpose-built buildings or buildings renovated to hold foreign nationals. On the other hand, with regards to Portugal and Finland, all of these have a high level of security centers. Another issue is that the material and hygiene conditions in Malta are at degrading and inhumane level. Like other European countries, such as Cyprus and Greece, these premises are characterized by almost total lack of privacy, overcrowding, and also a basic hygiene product. In Malta, and also in other countries like Spain, Greece, and Cyprus, the staffs consist of security personnel, such as guards, police officers, and private security personnel whose concerns are primarily related to security. In fact, in these detention centers, detained relations with staff are not always good, as they may be tense and can lead to abuse and violence. Detainee relations with center staff may simply be inexistent due to the language barrier. The lack of communication and relations with the personnel in charge of the centers reinforces the isolation of foreign detainees. Difficulties accessing telephone communications was noted as aggravating detainees' feeling of isolation from the outside world. It is noted that insufficient or inexistent social support is an additional difficulty for detainees in centers like Malta. The presence of social workers to provide social assistance to detainees is by no means the norm in all countries and centers. Social workers are present in countries like Great Britain and Denmark. These social services are usually organized and financed by the authorities, but sometimes are provided by associations with access to the centers.
questo mondo tanto improvviso. Mi ricorda il fianco di un condominio senza finestre e non credo ai tuoi entusiasmi.
I fiori sono
Welcome back to It's Debatable. Today with us we have Mr. Fabrizio Lull, Public Information Associate at UNHCR in Malta. Mr. Lull, what is the position of UNHCR on the current closed detention centers in Malta?
First of all, many thanks for having me. Well, regarding the current system with special reference to the detention center, in principle UNHCR is against that all asylum seekers should be detained. In Malta, how it works is that if you arrive in Malta without a legal visa or document or travel document, you can be detained up to 12 months or up to 18 months if your asylum application has failed. We feel that it's a lengthy process, it's a lengthy stay that can cause unnecessary harm to the person who will eventually be applying for asylum seekers.
What are the suggestions of the UNHCR to improve the status and the policy of the closed detention centers in Malta?
Some year ago, during a debate organized by the Times of Malta, UNHCR has made an official call for the government, or rather for the Maltese authorities, to following a decade of experience in dealing with asylum, that it should now, it's time to come up with a vision for the asylum system in Malta. One of that vision should also include detention. We feel that a detention creates harm, unnecessary harm to the people who are actually detained and being detained for a period for up to 12 months can actually take its toll on the psychological resistance of a person. It's not very good on the localities nearby the detention centers. To be fair, also coupled with how the asylum setup is being formed together with the other open center, is having a negative repercussion on the localities nearby, and we are finding that out through our own studies that we're going to publish throughout this year. It's also not very effective in the sense of keeping people out, because it does not act as a detriment to people, because people are still coming to Malta. It's also very costly when it comes to detention. If you go through the National Audit Report of 2009, you will find that 67% of the budget that Malta allocates on the whole asylum system goes into the upkeep of the detention. What we have called for the government is to come up with a vision. And we believe that there is space for both to have a system where you can control, where you can understand who is coming in and coming out, and also a system where it can be more humane. We don't think that keeping a person behind bars for 12 months is humane. So we are calling for alternative to a detention. Throughout this year, we'll also publish a document where we'll also set our ideas. But what we can say is that there are already some ideas going on in other countries. For instance, you can have a system where a person comes to Malta and register either at the open center. A person comes to Malta, he applies for asylum, and during that period of when his application is being processed by the Office of the Refugee Commission, he can apply either to a particular office, open center, even police depot, and that could be one of the solutions. You can have another solution of a semi-open center or semi-closed center, depends on how you see it. I mean, these are parts of solution that can be provided as alternative to the current system.
Don't you think that there is the risk to have insecurity level for the Maltese citizens having a semi-open center as you define it?
No, I don't think so. In a sense, it's difficult to provide a guarantee for the whole system. But I don't think that massage this current system of detaining everyone who comes, let's say, Malta, mainly by boat, is offering much more security, because even if your application gets rejected and you end up in detention for up to 18 months, you still end up released after 18 months in either in the open center, you can actually live in the open center, or in the community. And the checks, what's happened is they mainly check the name, they ask for the name and give them, let's say, a number, and then the process starts. So whether, you know, the current system is actually more secure, that's, I think, quite debatable, because as I said, even if you have your process rejected twice, because you can apply for asylum, your application can be rejected, you can stay up to 18 months, which is, I mean, again, quite a very long period, then you get release. Because technically speaking, the government can send you back, but because of either logistic problems, because it's quite, I believe, costly and logistically difficult to organize charter flights and so on, and also because of lack of bilateral agreements, even rejected asylum seekers end up being released in the community.
So do you think also that if we look at the other European countries, do you see this kind of problem only in Malta, or also in, I don't know, Italy, Spain, Germany, all other countries that in any case have to deal with the problem of migration?
Yes, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we do not see migration as a problem, but we also see as a migration as part of an opportunity for also European countries. And I think for the last years, the European member states have become more concerned towards security. We have seen, I mean, even on a political level, more concern over security and kind of the idea of closing in. So by closing in, people will feel more secure. We do not feel that it could be, that people will feel more secure if you actually close in. We believe that, yes, migration can offer a challenge, but it can also offer opportunities. Also, just also be careful that even though refugee might, you know, be part of a migrant route, they're also a distinct group of migrants. They are not migrants, you know, seeking work opportunity, but they are actually people who are fleeing from persecution. And people who have signed the 1951, countries which have signed the 1951 convention, have obliged themselves to offer them protection. And that's a good thing. That's a noble thing. So let's not always see them in terms of security. There are security issues, and I think we can also deal with them. We're not saying that, you know, people should just also run free. I think there are ways how we can solve security issue, cause security concern, and perhaps, you know, a semi-open center can be one of these of the solution, in the sense that if you do not register, if you don't come back in the open center, then I mean you're outside of the asylum process. So the asylum process will also act as an incentive, because it's also it is in the interest of the person to remain within that system.
So maybe better policy should be discussed at European level?
Definitely. I think we believe that there is room for space both on the European level, and there UNHCR is working with European institutions, but also on the local level. So I think there are room of improvement from both.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ellul.
Many thanks, sir.
Christian, what do you think should be done in order to have to prevent migration?
As we all know, there are lots of programs which are set to help and give aid to poor countries in the world. One of them surely is the EU, which provides amount of aid every year to go to these poor countries. And there are also NGOs which are helping these countries to develop and create better lives for these people. So what can be done is more effort on these particular countries, like for example Somalia, from where these irregular migrants are coming, and give them more aid and help them building their societies there, to prevent more of them leaving their country and ending up in Malta or in other countries in the EU. Another prevention and help for Malta is to divide the problem between countries in the EU. Following our diplomatic efforts, Germany has taken a leading role amongst EU partners in practicing solidarity in respect of our dilemma immigration. Germany took 96 illegal immigrants in 2010 and a further 153 in 2011 from Malta. Although this is not enough to solve the problem, we must be aware of Germany's effort to help, firstly by taking immigrants and secondly by giving an example and supporting our lobbying at an EU level. Here all I want to say is this, that all this may contribute to a smaller group of immigrants situated here in Malta, and so may lead the detention centers to be better and increase the possibility to develop and innovate more.
Tonio, what do you think about the security of the detention centers?
In Malta and also in other countries like Spain, Greece and Cyprus, the staffs consist of security personnel, such as guards, police officers, and private security personnel, whose concerns are primarily related to security. In fact, in these detention centers, detainee relations with staff are not always good, as they may be tense, and can lead to abuse and violence. Detainee relations with center staff may simply be inexistent due to the language barrier. The lack of communication and relations with the personnel is in charge of the centers reinforces the isolation of foreign detainees. Difficulties accessing telephone communications was noted as aggravating detainees' feeling of isolation from the outside world. The presence of social workers to provide social assistance to detainees is by no means the norm in all countries and centers. Social workers are present in countries like Great Britain and Denmark. The social services are usually organized and financed by the authorities, but sometimes are provided by associations with access to the centers. Malta, in order to have a high level of social assistance, should introduce training of social workers and a reasonable number of social workers that are relative to the number of detainees. So from this overview, one can see that Malta's detention centers are below par when compared to other detention centers in Europe. So I believe that something has to be done so that these detainees who depart from their country would have some sort of better life. Hence, better implementations have to be done.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for. I thank you, Tonio, Christian, and our special guests, Mr. Elul and Dr. Isabel Calleja, for their contributions. I would like also to send my special regards to Eva, who is currently listening to us from Hungary.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mrsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.